All right, welcome to Jules Travel Experience. This is episode 3. And for those of you who have stopped and listened to the podcasts, whether it's been on Spotify or Apple or Google or one of the Republic, and there's another one, I just want to say thank you. I'm very excited. I have had a pause. I have been trying to book my client, Sydney, my partner in a lot of travels, to discuss our adventures together and how that works out for us all the time. But we just, our schedules have been crazy, and getting the two of us to be able to do it at the same time seems to be impossible. So I do believe we will be doing that next week. What I do want to talk about is who you travel with. Jules Travel Experience, we have found that your travel partner is super important. Now, I'm not talking about traveling to New York for Christmas with the family. That's different. Family travel, as we all probably can attest, has its share of joy and its share of hilarity, and it's definitely a share of frustration. But I'm talking about, you know, big trips, vacations that are really not family centered. They're more adventure, holiday, vacation mode centered. These are those ones that you typically save up for, and you research, and you are looking forward to. You're like, in 3 more weeks, I'm going to the Bahamas, or in 3 months, I'm heading over to Europe or Australia or Fiji or whatever the case may be. These bigger ones, and those are really, in my opinion, it's really key that you go and travel with somebody that you are going to jive with. Look, we're all humans, and I think when you spend 5 or more days together with somebody or a group of people, I think it's just human nature that there's a level of frustration maybe every once in a while that takes hold. But what you want is to have more fun and be more in sync with who you travel with, just to make your journey awesome. And sometimes I know I have fallen into the trap of being like, yeah. When somebody's like, hey, would you want to go do this with me? And I'm like, yes, I'm in. And then in my gut, I'm like, this is a bad idea. We are so different. Maybe this person's like super type A, and I am definitely not type A. And I already know that this is going to make for some stressful moments when we're traveling together. Maybe there's one person that I've traveled with twice now for a long period of time, and I thought that our different personalities were going to have some moments for us, but not at all. Sometimes people surprise you. Those that we think are one way, maybe they are one way in business, but once they're on vacation, they are badass at really going into vacation mode. But that's not always the case. So I have traveled with males and females, and the last bit of years, most of my travels have been with females. And I have found that it's been up and down. You know, in 97, which I've talked about, I think, in one of my other episodes, is when I really started traveling outside of the Caribbean, Mexico, and the U.S. And I went out of the country for 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer, with somebody that I had been dating. And I set some stipulations about the situation when we got over to Europe, but I was super excited. And he ended up being a really good first-time travel partner because at the time, Jules Travel wasn't as good and knowledgeable about travel. And so, you know, he took care of everything, and we went with a radio deal because he was a big-time advertiser or something. And he veered us off onto our own, and probably the first cool experience that I had is we went to a place, and I'm going to say it wrong, Obertauern. Anyway, it's in Austria. It's the Austrian Alps. There are no Americans skiing, at least then. Americans, like I said in another episode, Americans are definitely getting better about traveling in just non-traditional places that we go to. But back then, no. I mean, he had to book us a train from Vienna to this one town, and from that town we had to hop on, I swear to you, a little yellow bus, and there were probably five or six Austrian people that we picked up along the route. None of them were going there to go skiing. These people were traveling from village to village and going to work, and we finally got to our ski village and nobody spoke English, and what a great day. And how cool is it to travel somebody that thinks outside of the box? And we also did a tour, but it was a small tour. It was like six of us into salt mines. It was either Germany or Austria. And you got to ride in the carts that go underneath into the cave systems, which was really fun. And what else did he plan? Took me to the best restaurant in Germany I've ever eaten. The best soup to this day I've ever had in my entire life. And it was a spinach paste, which is shocking. And just booked some really neat things. He was a great travel partner. And he grew up traveling to Europe. His family was in a situation where when he was in his college years, he could go over to Europe and get a baguette and some chocolate and some prosciutto and just backpack around Europe. So that's a really good kind of person to go traveling with. Not that they necessarily had to have gone to these places before, but that they just kind of get it. They get what it's about. You want an experience. That's one thing when I talk to people about travel and I, you know, try and set them up with a plan. I use the word experience, authentic experience, and a lot, because I believe that's what it should be. And anyway, I have also traveled with a dear friend who we traveled super well together for a long time. And then, I don't know, sometimes in life, as we age, we change, or our level of comfort with a friend may get too comfortable, and we forget to be on our best behavior and think of the other person. And that's one thing too that I have been guilty of myself in my travels with people, is like, what do I want on this holiday? I want to go wine tasting all day in this one region of Spain or France or Italy or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact where we were. There's been so many excursions. And she wanted one thing and I wanted another. And we just kind of kept getting frustrated. And we got this cute cabin in Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat. And I remember getting soaked by the... And I went to take a shower and I couldn't figure out the shower knobs. And I got soaked, or she got soaked. And I think we were both happy the other one got soaked because we were a little frustrated. And then it was the first time like our voices kind of raised and got a little tense. And she went and did her thing, laid out on the beach drinking some wine. And I don't remember what I did. I think I sat back and pouted and read a book, or pretended to read a book at the hotel that we were at. We ended up obviously apologizing, but it's an interesting thing because it changed our dynamic when we traveled sometimes, not all the time, but now we knew that we were at this level where we could get irritated with each other, and that sucked. Like that was really, I don't know, I felt really bad about it just because we've always prior to that had traveled so well. And I mean, we traveled in Texas with our kids when they were growing up and just laughed the whole time. We had traveled, I don't know if she's gone to Mexico with me or Caribbean, but we had traveled a lot and always had a really good time, whether it was Austin or New York or, oh, New York. Oh my gosh. Her and I had probably one of the most fun weekends in New York I have ever had. And all I'm going to say about this, I'll talk about this New York trip. It deserves its whole own episode. I want to go to the oldest bars in the U.S. Jules Travel wants to go to the oldest bars in the U.S. And McSorley's was on the list. We got there at like 2 p.m. And we didn't get back home until the next day, well into the next morning, probably 3 or 4 a.m., unsure exactly what time, and just had an insane time. Another time in New York, it was Halloween, and I don't know how the whole night went. I just know that her and I got a ride home from a police officer at 3, 4. So we have had a lot of fun on our travels, but we hit the snag a few years back, and since then, it's been good. She's missed a couple of trips that we were supposed to go on together, and then that just kind of added to the frustration, and I don't know. She is a badass travel partner. I guess I can just reflect on me and just say that sometimes I have to think of what other people want as well, and to be more relaxed myself in my travels. My daughter and I travel. We've gone everywhere together. Well, she went to Australia and New Zealand without me, but other than that, we have done a ton of traveling together. And when she was little and I would take her to the islands or all over the U.S., we just always had a blast. Like, sweet. And it wasn't just like mom and daughter. It was just like two people who enjoyed the experience of travel and experiencing it together and were able to just laugh and be silly. And I took her to Europe for 3 weeks about 6 years ago now. And she was well into her 20s. So we both weren't as laid back as we used to be. And at that point, you're mom and daughter. So you're travel partners, but you're also mom and daughter. And as much as I like to think sometimes that I can take off the mom hat and just be like the cool person, like, you can't. You're just a mom. So we get over to Europe, and I don't want things to go wrong. Not for me, but when I'm bringing somebody or sharing a travel experience, I don't know about you guys, but I want it to be perfect for them. And sometimes what I realize is that overtakes my mood. And I was doing that with my daughter, and I think we were 2 days into the trip, and I'm driving because I love to drive over there. And she looks at me and she just said, she just like laid down her law. She was like, look, we are not going to be like this on this trip. And she just let me have it, but it was really good. And I think that's the other thing that's important. When you take an adventure, an experience, a travel journey with somebody or a group of friends, you have to be able to communicate and say what's on your mind in a positive way. And her doing that, it made me stop and think. And then I laughed at her for saying that. And then we just had a great time. And it was 3 awesome weeks, almost 3 weeks. So, yeah, I'm super curious to hear about, you know, back from you guys. I hope when you listen to my podcast, there's a place you can maybe leave me some comments or go to Jules Travel Experience website and shoot me an email. You can email us directly through there or go to our Instagram and send a message. But we'd definitely love to hear about any travel experiences that you've had and taking vacations with other people, if you want some advice. I mean, and obviously anytime, contact us for advice on travel, and you could actually see some of our services on our website. Let me think. Oh, so my first friend from when I moved to Houston is, and I always say my oldest friend, but she's not my oldest friend because believe me, I have a few older friends, but she's my oldest friend. And the last couple of years, we have taken long vacations in Europe. She was the one I was talking about earlier. I thought she would just be uptight or get stressed easily. And so I was anxious trying to make her have this wonderful vacation and this great time. And if we missed a train or if we took a wrong turn or a restaurant wasn't as good as I was expecting it to be, I would get upset, not like freaking out, but I would have some stress with that. And she ended up being so incredibly chill, so laid back. And her with her luggage, the first go round was absolutely one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I would say that's really entertaining when you go on a long vacation with somebody who really hasn't gone too far out of the country and is going for a while, and they like clothes and shoes, and to see the luggage and how they're going to get through their journey with it is entertaining. But anyway, I digress. She ended up being much chiller than I was. So I guess a good thing is if you use Jules Travel, I'm not traveling with you, so I won't be so anxious unless you need a travel concierge, and we would be happy to go with you to book things in advance, etc. But that's a whole different, that's a one-on-one conversation. But yeah, as your travel concierge, I would be super chill, super laid back, and hook you up on the right holiday. But I just really want to talk about, who your travel partners are. My advice after all these years and traveling with various people is go with people you know you can talk to. If they are an itinerary-based person and they're like, at 9 a.m., we are going to the Academia. At 11:30, we need to be at the Domo because I want to climb the steps all the way to the top. By 1 o'clock, we're having lunch at Tito's. And now I'm talking about Florence. And at 3 o'clock, we are going to get in a car and head to the Chianti region. And at 6 o'clock, we're having dinner in Voltara, and then back in the hotel by 10. If you're not that type of person, which I'm personally not, sometimes I do admit you have to have an itinerary of some sort, especially because there are places like the Academia, you need to book it in advance. But if that's not your nature and the person you're traveling with, I would say make sure of one of two things. One, they're cool if you don't want to do something on that itinerary. You're an adult traveling. Most of my travels with friends have been like, hey, if you don't want to go do that, that's cool. I'm going to stick with this as long as you don't mind. And then you can, what are you going to do? Or if you don't have that level of a relationship where you feel comfortable saying that to a person, then traveling outside of your comfort level with somebody who is completely the opposite with you may not be the best person to travel with on a big travel. Maybe you guys are just going to do a weekend and, you know, in Santa Barbara. Maybe you live in LA and you're just going to do a weekend in Santa Barbara. Maybe you can do that with somebody and you just get through the weekend and have fun with them as best that you can. And know, hey, it's short. This is about them, not about me. But I would just suggest any long vacations, any long holidays that you try and travel with somebody that you know you're going to have a good time with. And I think that deserves a conversation before you even go. And most of my friends now and I have done trips together. So we all know how each other is. And I am a person of constant reflection. So, I mean, I came back from my summer trips and it's been an amazing travel year. I've had 4 fantastic journeys this summer, and I've reflected after each one. And my last one, we were in San Francisco and had a blast, super chill, laid back, had some great food, had some great vino, and laughed a lot. And that's the way I want my journeys to be. So just make sure who you travel with, that you can have a good conversation with them, and that you know a little bit in advance what the other one is expecting from a trip. And don't go with anybody that's going to make you super uptight. And if you know that in advance, even though something may sound amazing, maybe somebody's offering you up something and you know that they get on your nerves within 10 minutes of being with them, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be worth it. But that's just me. Obviously, I have gone on trips with people that irritated me back in the day. And sure, vice versa. Anyway, so thanks. I definitely want to hear people's thoughts on travel partners and any vacations, any holidays, anything you want to do, any advice you need. We are happy to provide it. And again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We are super excited to be continuing this podcast journey. And I have 2 guests in the pipeline. I promise you, it's not always just going to be me rattling on. And yeah, so that's it. Enjoy your day and your evening. And again, we'd love to hear from you. Jules Travel Experience is the website. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and not Twitter anymore. So hopefully there's enough ways to get in touch with us. Well, good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Jules Travel and Various Experiences. So I was thinking yesterday about how much I've traveled, but at times I have really tried to do a lot on a tighter budget, which means you figure out ways to cut corners. And I don't know if any of you have ever done that, or you do that when you travel, and have you always been successful doing it if you do that? I've said before, part of any experience, whether it's entrepreneurial or anything in life, you know, you learn from your mistakes, and well, or you don't. Sometimes I don't. Anyway, so it's not a bad thing that I'm saying as Jules Travel that I have tried to cut corners, and sometimes it has hindered my experience, because that's how I learned from that. And, you know, I've talked before about who you travel with is really important, that they're a similar personality, or they're a calmer person if you're a more hype person, and maybe if you're a calmer or a super laid back or lazy person, maybe you need somebody that's kind of amps up your game. Whatever the case is, when you travel and you just don't have a massive amount of money at your disposal, there's some kind of corner cutting usually. So I was thinking about that yesterday, and probably because this last trip this summer, it was great. I mean, we went to Italy and Amalfi and Sorrento, and we went to the south of France and went to the wine region, only to have all the wineries were closed. And yet it was still a fun day. Not really. And then I went up to England. Didn't really cut any costs in England. Didn't need to. And that was just a fantastic, relaxing trip. But on the Europe leg, you know, you can save money on flights. And you can contact us at Joel's Travel, and we'll explain to you how you can do that, some different ways you can do it. And if you are on a budget, or you want to spend your money more on a hotel than on a flight, I can give you some ideas on how to do that. As long as you are flexible, and I'm not talking adding hours to a flight time, really. Maybe an hour or two sometimes, but that's not the way I do it. But it's just creative thinking makes dreams happen. So anyway, so while we were on this trip, we did a little cost cutting on some flights. And when we got over, you know, hindsight, right? I don't know. I know we saved money on the flights, and I know it was a good amount, but we took a stop in Paris, an overnight stop, and it was just crap weather, which may be why, to me, that wasn't the best cost-saving idea. We stayed at a hotel out by the airport, and that one was fine. It was cozy. Well, it wasn't cozy, but it was fine. And it was convenient because we were flying back out of Charles de Gaulle super early the next morning, but the hotel was only about $100 and split two ways. So $50 a person. But you know, in Paris, the hotels are always pretty pricey. So if you have an early morning flight, there are a lot of hotels that are close to the airport that are fine, nice, and they're functional. If I was doing a longer stay, you know, if I hadn't been flying out, I think our flight was at 8 a.m., which meant we had to be at the airport at 6. I would not have stayed there because Paris is amazing. Like, it's worth staying in the city of Paris. But anyway, it was like an 18-hour layover. So the going there flight was fine. The hotel was fine at the airport. Then we took a flight into Rome. And no, Naples. Rome than Naples. See, this is where I'm getting confused, but this is where I kind of cut some costs and then rented a car from Naples to drive down to the Amalfi Coast. That part was okay, but going back, we had to go back to Rome, and it was just longer and maybe saved $30. So that's what I mean about, like, in hindsight, when I'm in it and I'm booking sometimes, and I was like, oh, I can save money here. I need to remember to think big picture. Put these numbers down before I make a decision of inconvenience, because that's what it becomes. Is $30 worth the inconvenience? Sometimes I think, wow, I just spent $30 at happy hour, and I don't think twice about it, but yet I'm going to try and save $30 on a car rental or on a flight or not to pay for an extra bag. So I have to remind myself to put things in perspective and spend the money wisely and get the very best out of an experience. So I don't know if any of you guys have done that. heading back. So once we flew into Italy, went down to Sorrento, then we flew from Rome into Nice, which is fine. That's a nice flight. Got a really nice deal on a car rental. And it was a one-way because we were driving back to Paris. and we were going to hit the wineries on the one day up. Big mistake. That is where I messed up. Yeah, the one-way car rental was fantastic, and had I really planned that out, it would have been worthwhile. But we spent a couple of days in Beaulieu, and then we spent one night in Provence, and then the goal was to drive up to Paris, and then we were flying back out of Paris. I was heading off to London, and my friend was flying home. So we... Well, the wineries were closed. So we had a great couple of days in the south of France. And it was great having a car because you can go to Monaco, you can go to Antibes, you can do, you know, you can, it's so easy to get around. People probably think that have never been there that it's maybe hard to get from Saint-Tropez to Monaco, but it's really not. It's all a pretty short drive. But we spent the night at this awesome little Airbnb villa. It's really a bed and breakfast in Provence, and I would highly recommend that is a 2 or a 3 night, and then just tour the wineries of Provence. First of all, they're the best rosés, and it's just beautiful. It's a great area, and in hindsight, it would have been nice to have an extra day or two there. But I was so proud that I was going to show my friend the Marsol and Burgundy wine region. So we just went up, and we should have just flown from the south of France back to Paris. It was probably $100 more per person, but this was a time that it would have been worth it. The day was long. We got into Paris about 4:00. And we both had early morning flights, so I book us another hotel. Again, in hindsight, I wish I would have rebooked the hotel we stayed at originally in Paris. We were getting into Paris late, and we just went into Paris, and it was a beautiful evening, and we actually had a really nice time, but, you know, it wasn't a lot. And then we had to go turn the rental car in by 10 p.m. or 11. We go over to where our hotel is. It's awful. I mean, it is disgusting. And it was a Comfort hotel, so I'm going to put them on blast because that crap was just gross. But it saved us money. Probably $30. Yep, that's that night out at happy hour, that $30. If I would have just spent $30 more, we actually would have felt comfortable putting our heads down on the pillowcases and getting inside the sheets or taking a shower, which I believe I opted not to do because it was just that gross. Yeah, that, you know, and then you're traveling with a friend, and if they've never done any of these things before, the last thing you want is for it to be disappointing. And I felt horrible because it was disappointing. It was that, yeah, that was a nasty, nasty hotel. And on top of that, to add insult to injury, I had to turn in the rental car. So we go by the hotel, are disgusted, and then we're less than a mile from Charles de Gaulle Airport. And for those of you who've never traveled there before, it's a big airport. I mean, it's not, you know, the Hamburg airport, which is like 800 miles, but it's pretty big. The car rental facility, it was a challenge, and it was late at night, and I was frustrated. I had driven the whole day. I had not done the best job because I was saving some money, and it took... I think I circled the airport like 3 times, and when we finally get in there to finally get there, it's late, and I mean, we have to be back up at 4 a.m., and it was probably 11-ish, and we were there in time to drop it off, but they closed an hour early, because in Europe, look, it's just different. You always have to be prepared for that. I don't get mad at them. That is cultural. We always have to remember when we travel that different people have different cultures, and it may not be the expectation that you have, but getting upset about those things, it's not going to do you any good. It is not the first time I've gone to a facility that's like a big business, like a Hertz, which is what we use, not putting them on blast. I'm Hertz Gold. I love Hertz. But yeah, they were closing hourly. So there were two guys just randomly driving around the car rental place. And they said, yeah, just leave your car, put the keys in the box. We couldn't find box forever. And then we're thinking, there's no shuttle. How are we even getting it back to this nasty hotel that we're so happy to be staying at? And anyway, we got an Uber. It was a pain, but we got back to the hotel and we survived to tell the story. My point is, when you're traveling, really look at where you want to spend your money. And I am happy to make sure people learn from my mistakes and set you up on a much better 100% journey and not have these little hiccups. Now, if you ask Robin, how's your trip? She's going to laugh at that story and she'll remember it, but it is not the first thing she's going to say. She's going to talk about Sorrento and the lemons, well, the limoncello, the water, the view of our hotel overlooking the water, the boat that we took to the grottos, which were amazing, the food in Monaco, and being up in Ez, and the shopping. She likes to shop. And the energy of Paris and the laughs, you know, and we actually stayed at a really inexpensive hotel in the south of France and we loved it. We were in one of my favorite places on the marina and it was in a perfect location. Our room was really nice. Our balcony was over the water. It's just fantastic. And there's been others where I have tried to cut some corners. And, you know, it's backfired. But then there's been other times where I've cut some corners and it's worked out really well. So, that said, just always put it down on paper, really think things through, and step back and look at it and say, is saving $50 or $100 worth it? Now, if you're saving $500, $700, 100% it's going to be worth it. But if you do cut some cost, just make sure that the way you're cutting them is still leaving you with the best vacation that you can have. And at Jules Travel, we are 100% happy to make sure that you don't have those hiccups because we've made them for you. And I'm going to keep this podcast short today. And I will definitely try to get the person that I'm interviewing, my daughter, to do my podcast next weekend. We've both been busy and we just seem to not be able to get on the same page with it. But I really do want to look at traveling with family, mom, daughter, son, mom, the whole family. You got a smaller nuclear, like smaller family like we do. How it's been and just talk about some of the funny stories and the you know, how it's family. It's highs and lows. Anyway, thanks for listening to my podcast today. And if you ever want to send me a note or have any topics that you would like to discuss with me, I would love to have guests. And or if you ever have any questions, I would love to answer them in my future podcasts. So safe travels, bon voyage, get out there, live life. That's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be lived, and you can make your dream vacation holidays happen. It just takes a little perseverance, time off, and desire to go and see the world.